A growing number of racial justice advocates are calling for the 2030 census to include a box for American descendants of slavery. They say accurate data are critical for understanding income, education, and health disparities within the Black community. Last month, groups including the American Descendants of Slavery Advocacy Foundation, or ADOS, made their case to the White House. Let's bring in Yvette Carnell, president of the ADOS Advocacy Foundation. Welcome, Yvette.
Thank you for having me.
Yvette, tell us why it matters that we have an accurate count of how many descendants of slavery there are in the U.S.
Well, I think it matters first to understand how we got this wrong in the first place. The way we sort of count things now is like this sort of flat blackness, right? So everybody's black the same. But when you look at health outcomes, when you look at income disparities, when you look at where you are in terms of Boston, it's ADOS, American Descendants of Slavery are worth $8. You see black immigrants are worth like 1,800, right? That was the Wells study. So you can't understand the group unless you disaggregate the group because there are different health outcomes for the group. There are different incarceration rates for black immigrants as opposed to American descendants of slavery. So you have to take a microscope to the groups to see the impact of slavery on us that is not the impact that black immigrants have on a whole variety of levels.
So that's very powerful data that you're quoting there. And I'm wondering, because there aren't great records of descendants of slavery in the country, how can people find out if they are a descendant of someone who was enslaved?
Well, I think the American government has to help us with that, right? But you have to look at the fact that the number of black immigrants who were here pre-1965, pre-Immigration Act, was to the right of the decimal point. And so you had some Caribbeans who were here and largely with help from the UK. You had a few of those. But overwhelmingly, this was a Negro nation in terms of American descendants of slavery, white people, et cetera, et cetera. So if you can trace your lineage back to that time, if you can trace your lineage back to sharecropping, you know that 99 times out of 100, you're an American descendant of slavery.
And, you know, there are these more detailed breakdowns of the data that exists for other groups in the census, like Asian Americans and Hispanic Americans. What could change if we knew how many descendants of slavery there are?
Well, we would really understand the impact that slavery has had on us. When you go to 1990, that's when you see this skyrocketing number of black immigrants come to this country. Like, if you go look at the Pew Research chart, it skyrockets and takes off at that point. And we don't even really understand, like, in terms of this group, when you talk about slavery, so much of our lives right now, our economic life, in terms of the fact that we're going over an economic cliff, is tied back to slavery and multi-generational oppression. Other groups don't have that same relationship with America, and they don't have those same outcomes. So if you take that away, I think you would see how what we've lived through, what we've gone through over generations in America has impacted us and basically robbed us of the Americanness that we deserve in this country.
And we know that census numbers really are used to target resources when we know certain populations are in certain places. I'm wondering if you can give us some examples. You know, say this all comes to be, and on the 2030 census there is a box, and we discover how many American descendants of slavery there are. What are some uses of resources that you think will benefit the community?
Well, one of the things we see, even in terms of housing, we're 50% in a lot of places renters. Black immigrants are much more likely to be homeowners. They're much less likely to be in prison. So even if you talk about housing and getting us into homeownership, right, that's a place where we could focus that on and say, see, we have a disparity here that isn't clear. It's not clear if you talk about us in just in terms of black. It's not clear if you talk about it just in terms of people of color. This is a disparity, right? And so what's happening is that you can't see our disparities, specifically in terms of us being ADOS, not black, because there's nobody really thinks of themselves in terms of, even when you talk about socialization, nobody thinks of themselves as a Ghanaian American doesn't think of themselves as I'm just black. They'll tell you, I didn't really understand this sort of American blackness until I got here. But that's not how anybody is socialized. That's not how anybody lives. And so you can't see a disparity in that kind of context because it really never made sense. And it certainly can't be used to identify these sort of dehumanizing disparities that can be traced all the way to slavery. So I think you take that away and you can unmask the fact that we are on the bottom and we're below people who just got here. whether you just got here in 1965, your folks got here in 1965, or they got here in 1990. We fall below that, and you can tie that directly to slavery. And the only way you can see that is to disaggregate the data.
You know, I have to ask you, could it unintentionally divide the Black community in ways that you don't want?
Well, I don't think so. The truth is we've already been divided. We've been divided a very long time in terms of the economic data, in terms of how we are being perceived by white people, in terms of our outcomes. So there are divisions that already exist in our lives. And the reason we call ourselves American descendants of slavery was Martin Luther King who said that first. So there are differences in who we are. We have no real tie to, if you've been in this country generations, we are not African in terms of how we view ourselves and our culture. So it's not divisive to say that this is who we are, this is what we've endured, and you have to count that. You have to make that matter. And if you talk to people, they'll tell you, listen, I don't, when I go home to my mother, I'm Nigerian, and we talk about Naija life. We talk about, you know, how to view life and how to do things in a Naija way, right? It's only when it comes to ADOS that people say, you all are not allowed to have any agency. You all are not allowed to describe yourselves and decide how you're going to be named and called. So when people say it's divisive, it's just very interesting that other groups have always been allowed to identify how they choose to identify, and they've been allowed to have that agency. It's only when it comes to us, people say, well, you shouldn't do that.
And ADOS, of course, is American Descendant of Slavery. Yvette Carnell, you make a very powerful case. She's the president of the ADOS Advocacy Foundation, talking to us about the movement to include American Descendants of Slavery on the 2030 census. Thank you, Yvette.
Thank you.